Welcome to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to have you with us, friends, on this Monday afternoon edition of our broadcast. And we're beginning a brand new week of broadcasting live right here in the Grace Hour. Each week brings a brand new theme. This week's theme, Grace and the Call of God upon our lives. So we want to welcome you again to the Monday broadcast, friends, and hope that you'll be able to stay with us for the full hour-long broadcast. Again, we'll get things started with a devotional message that, of course, will be followed up by your phone calls as we open the phone lines here at the Grace Hour and invite you to join us. Again, following the message today with your comments, questions, your testimonies. If you have a counseling need, we'll do all that we can to assist you and provide some, hopefully, some wisdom, some guidance, some direction, and your prayer requests as well. Always welcome live right here on the Grace Hour. Here are the numbers for you to join us following the message today. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number, and you can dial that toll-free number throughout anywhere in North America, Canada, and the continental United States. Once again, 800-338-7060. The local number, friends, right here in Baltimore, if you're listening locally on WRBS, it's found in your AM dial, 1230 on your AM dial. Again, that number is 410-483-3700. And if you're joining us outside of North America, you too would dial 410-483-3700. And we hope that many of you will, again, accept that invitation and join us live when those phone lines are open on the Monday edition of the Grace Hour. We'd like to welcome those of you that are listening live on the internet around the globe on gracehour.org. Thanks for being with us today. And Julie has already checked in with us all the way from Great Britain. Thanks, Julie. Great to have you with us as always. And those of you that are watching on Facebook Live and listening there as well, YouTube Live, we want to welcome everyone on the various platforms that you receive the Grace Hour on a regular basis. Again, when those phone lines are open, we're very, very much interested in hearing from you. A theme that we can all relate to, of course, this week, the grace of God and the call of God upon our lives. And here to get things started on this new week of broadcasting and this brand new theme, Pastor Jason Moore.
Thanks, Pastor Love. Great to be with you. And I love this theme. They are inseparable. Grace and the call of God. And just thinking with you, I want to encourage us in John chapter 15 this morning and to think about some really powerful words in verse 16 that helps us understand what the call of God is. We understand that the call of God is not an event. So many are being trained to do something, and that really is the demonstration of the grace of God is action. But really, the call of God is to be called to Him, to Him. And if we don't get that right, if we don't get that chronological order right, then really everything else, even though it might work, is really an action of the flesh. And so when we think about the call of God, it's a relationship. It's a relationship. And the outpouring or the demonstration of that relationship produces the call of God. So when we think about the call, again, it's an overflow from that relationship. And this is why we're told in 1 Corinthians 7:20 to abide in Him, to abide in the same place where God has led you, and that's to Him. You know, so many are wondering what to do in Christianity, what to do, what's God called me to do? Well, we can't answer that question unless we're called to Him. We're called out unto Him. And that might be something we breeze over very quickly, but it's actually the crux of everything. I mean, Pastor Ronaldo shared this at the men's conference, that oftentimes we're looking for God to speak, but actually God is looking for us to be with him. Would you just be with me? Would you just be still in my presence? Will you just rest in my presence? And in that place of practicing his presence, the action of the kingdom, the action of motivation, the action of constrained by love, the action of vision, the action of diligence, it all spawns from that one place, being with him. But if we're out just to do something for God, then that can be dangerous, because we could be doing something good in the action of the flesh, when actually God is leading us to him, and then God is doing the action. God is leading people. In John chapter 12, we lift him up and he draws. We're there by faith and he breaks through the obstacles. We walk with him and people are touched. Their hearts are challenged and are bent, in the sense of they become interested, not based in persuasion, but in declaration. And I want to open that up a little bit here. And we heard this weekend that, you know, we're not called to be debaters, even though we should have an answer to answer people's questions, but we're called to be declarers, those that declare the work and way of the Lord. And I love that, because in declaring the truth, people, the Holy Spirit energizes and persuades people. Well, John chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. And these things I have commanded you, that you love one another. Oftentimes, we see a focus on the B part of that verse about asking God for whatever, and God gives it. And we know that when we ask according to his will, then yes, the action is God's answer and God's sovereign will. But the first part is really important. And I want us to think about the call of God today by illustration, that we are called to him. We are called in a relationship to know him. And in knowing him, the overflow is the action, and that relationship becomes the action and ministry of a believer. It's like this principle. You have an ice cube, and you put an ice cube in a hot cup of coffee. Okay, what happens to that ice cube? That ice cube disappears, and that's exactly the call of God in a believer's life. We are put into, in this case, a cup of coffee, and then we disappear. We no longer become visible, and now what do we see? We just see the call. We just see the mission. We just see Christ and Christ crucified. The problem comes is when the ice cube tries to be known, or the ice cube, if we could say in a funny way, it tries to fight the heat properties of the coffee. It's like, it's absurd. But this is what happens to the believer's life. We get swallowed up in the call, in knowing him, swallowed up in glorifying him, swallowed up in worshiping him. And guess what happens? It becomes seamless, and people see Christ. People don't want to see you and I, by the way. People don't want to hear you or I, by the way. They want to hear Christ. They want to see Christ. They want to hear the Bible. They want to hear the Spirit. God, help us to lift him up and have his words, because our words are not eternal. Our words are not something that has impact. They may be flashy in the pan, but they're gone. But when it's Christ, it's something that will remain. Well, I love what's written here. I have chosen you and appointed you. And that word there is, excuse me, I have called you. I have called you out for me. You wouldn't have been able to choose that. I have done that for you. I've called you to myself in the Greek, and I've ordained you, or I've appointed you. I've set you in a place before me to establish you. It's amazing. Think about this in the call. God says, I've called you to myself to establish you, to ordain you. Isaiah 28:5 says, I have become your crown. maybe you're in a situation today and you're trying to get out of it. God says, I've ordained you to be there. I've ordained you to be my witness, Acts 1:8. I have ordained you to bring health into an unhealthy situation. I've ordained you to bring you deeper so that instead of taking the easy way out, and by the way, if we take the easy way out, our life will be hard. But if we do the hard thing, and that's abiding in him, and really that's not hard, that's a decision. We abide in him. 10 times it says that in John chapter 15. We abide in him, and what happens? Our life becomes easy, our yoke becomes easy, and the action of God becomes visible. I love this. I've ordained you. I've ordained you to be a good dad, a godly dad, I should say, a godly mom. I've ordained you to have authority and power at your job. I've ordained you to have a pure personal life. I've ordained you. I've anointed you is another synonymous word there. God says, I have put you there for my purpose. And then he goes on to say that you should go. And that's not the best translation. That word should can be a pressure word. Like there's some sort of expectation on you to do something. Actually, the word is, I have led you under my authority. Very interesting word in the Greek. I have led you. Not you should go. Actually, it's I have led you in my authority to bear fruit. That I have led you to bear fruit. And when you think of bearing fruit in John chapter 12, 23 through 24, how does fruit happen? Well, there's first a death, and then there's an assimilation of the seed. And then there's something that comes out of that seed. How is it that I do a great work of God? Well, really, the question is, how does God do a great work in me? If there's no great work in me, then there's not going to be a great work of God. And God help the work that's happening unless God is first doing it in me and then through me. Bearing fruit. The fruit, and we understand that the quality of fruit is based on the root. Where's my roots? Where are my roots? Going deep. We need to be deep today to go beyond the flim-flammy feelings, how life can yank us around. God says, go deep with me so you have wisdom and know that I have chosen you. The call of God is not my idea. It's not your idea. It's a high, holy, and heavenly calling. It's something supernatural, Philippians 3:14. It's something from God in 2 Timothy 1:9. It's something that is apart from anything that we could create in Hebrews 3:1. It's high, heavenly, and holy. So as we come to Christ and we learn of him, we understand that we're ordained, we're appointed, we're chosen, we're led in his authority so that our fruit will remain. And this is, I don't know about you, this is one of my prayers, is that the work of God would remain without us in whatever geographical location. We see this, that the question may be asked, how is it that fruit can remain? I'll tell you, there's one way fruit remains. It remains if we disciple people in a relationship with God. That's the only way. Otherwise, it's soul power. Soul power is based on rapport. Soul power is based on preference. Soul power is based on the best idea because it's something exciting. Well, that's all gonna disappear. But when it's discipled into the relationship with God, relationship with their Bible, a relationship in faith, guess what? Then the work of God is bringing us deeper and deeper and deeper, and then we're ordained. And not only are we ordained, but we are discipling and encouraging others to remain and be faithful in 1 Corinthians 7:20 in the calling, in the invitation to know him in the difficult times. Well, Acts 26:19, Paul said to King Agrippa, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. We see three missionary journeys, right? And they were super valuable, and church planting is God's idea. But what was Paul's first mission? It was to be set apart unto God. That's amazing. Set apart as a relationship. When it gets tough, we lean in. When it gets impossible, we surrender and die to ourselves. And God says, I'm going to bear fruit in your life that's going to feed, Revelations 22, it's going to feed nations. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 6. Jeremiah, you are a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah, you are so much more than what you could even create in your own self. And this is why it's such an action of grace, because it's God doing it, and God doing it superbly. It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, just to clarify and to close, Acts 9:15, we are handpicked. You and I are a chosen vessel. Handpicked in grace is the word there in 9:15 of Acts. God says, I have handpicked you. I have ordained you. Why was Deborah such an important lady in the Old Testament? It's because she stepped forward when nobody else would. And that's like, you know, that's kind of an interesting, that's an interesting point. God says, the gifts and calling of God are without change, but will you step forward and let me use you? Will you step forward in courage and let me ordain you to do the impossible work, to bring you outside your comfort zone? And so if we are called unto him and there's intimacy there, then there will not be, or less likely to be, intimidation by man. It's amazing. Amazing. If there's intimacy with God, there's less likely to have intimidation by man. I am stirred up with you. We stirred up the men Friday night, had a great time with the men, that we have a unique time in our country, in our town, in our city, to preach, disciple, to be proactive. This is why, because you're ordained. You're ordained to be a godly businessman. You're ordained to be an evangelist. You're ordained. God has anointed you. God has picked you. God has set you aside for himself to equip you, to train you, to empower you. You know, we're not all here just to be edified all the time. Edification is great, but empowerment means I live in the spirit of that edification. And then God says, okay, I have a surrendered vessel. Now I'm going to do something. Because the ice cube is totally disappeared in the coffee. Maybe it's a simple illustration, but I like it. We no longer matter. We are no longer seen. Our ideas are no longer the issue. What is it? It's surrendered. And then God says, you ask anything in my name. That's where the call happens. That's where the call is active. That's where the impossible things happen. And that's where we have purpose and meaning and significance. We were talking with a brother, 22-year-old brother in Frederick this weekend, and he's just seeking for meaning. He's seeking for significance. He's seeking for purpose. And we're like, follow the Lord. Come after him. Don't just lay all things aside and just learn of him, like it says in Matthew 28. Learn of him. And you know, this young man was just really energized in the meaning and just really seeking God, because he discovered, instead of doing something for God, it was a relationship. Well, just closing here, just thinking Exodus 33:15, it's the presence of God that goes with us. Amen. Deuteronomy 31:8, it's his presence that goes before us. Nothing happens of any significance without the presence of God. We can sound good, smell good, talk good. All talents are wonderful. But the gift is the divine ability of God using a broken, sinful person for his glory. Lord, where's your presence? That's where I want to be active. Where is your presence? That's where I want to abide. Where's your presence? That's where I want to be a beholder, a worshiper. And that's where we understand the value of the harvest in John 4:35-36. The harvest. What's the greatest harvest? It's people. It's people. It's people. And I don't know about you, this is such a joy to journey with people in their life of faith. Boy, love is messy, isn't it? Love is messy, messy, messy. It's messy. But you know what? There's a message in the mess. and it's like the message is God-centered. It's not fix yourself. It's not do better, try harder. It's no. We're called to him to collapse into his arms. And then he rebuilds us. He remakes us. He heals us. And guess what happens? We have a new message, a new way of thinking, a new thinking pattern, a new steps, new choices, new decisions. And God gets glorified. And we become declarers and not just debaters. I'm all about learning scripture and all about learning the character so we can answer those that have questions. But what is our emphasis? We are declaring, and God is giving the increase. Well, I love this verse. Let's be called unto him. Let's be led by him. And let's watch him do the impossible work. Amen.
Amen. Well, you've been listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, our devotional. We've wrapped it up. We're opening the phone lines. We're inviting you to join us. And we've got some great thoughts to get things started with on this Monday afternoon edition of the Grace Hour. And the phone lines are now open. This is a wonderful opportunity for you to join us. We hope many of you will. You can pick up a phone and dial one of these numbers, 800-338-7060. Again, 800-338-7060, anywhere in North America. And right here in the Baltimore area, friends, you can join us at 410-483-3700. Grace and the call of God. And some great thoughts to get us started. And we hope that some of those thoughts stimulated you and stirred you up. And then we hope that you will, again, take the opportunity to participate in our broadcast today. We mentioned earlier that Julie was watching from Great Britain, and Zara is also watching from Saudi Arabia. God bless.
Wow.
Paul Parrott is watching from the hospital. God bless you guys. Well, Pastor Paul, we would assume that you're there because you're being treated for something, unless you're visiting someone. But Father, we pray for our brother up there in Connecticut, Pastor Paul Parrott, and we pray that whatever his needs are, physically or otherwise, we just pray that you would bring healing to him, Lord, and just continue to guide his steps. And again, we're not aware of the particulars, but we do love our brother, and we're praying for his health and healing. In Jesus' name, amen. And Suzette has written to us, says, Jesus got the more important thing of being called to him. That is when he was with Martha and Mary. Martha wanted to do. Mary just wanted to be with him and sit at his feet. And Ruth has weighed in, says, thanks for that profound message. Thank you, Ruth. Thanks for joining us. And again, those phone lines, we'd love to hear what your thoughts are. You know, I'm not so sure, Pastor, that you can separate, you know, the call of God from the grace of God. Obviously, we've been called to the God of all grace. And I think the calling of God is defined by that grace that God so freely gives us.
Amen. I think of what William Newell said in the 1800s. He had a commentary on Romans chapter 8. It's like he had several points, and we've kind of made a small group out of his commentary. But the point that I like, it's that everything relies solely on the giver. We do not help God. The moment we help God, it's like touching the ark. It ceases to be grace in 11:6 of Romans. And I think the world needs this message of grace so incredibly. I don't know if we really grasp that. I know I don't. It's like we're in a little bubble here. We have so much light. And then you go into a place that's dark, and you just present the character and nature of God. And it's like people, it's like a dog that's so thirsty, their tongue is hanging out. This is the message of our day. It's the message, period.
Amen. Well, Paul, the apostle, he understood it. And we mentioned in a meeting Saturday evening that Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus, was knocked off his horse, and he never recovered from grace. That's amazing, because some people do, you know, grace meets them, grace saves them. But somewhere along the line, they can kind of recover. They get back on their feet. They start to live their lives again. Paul never recovered from grace because he never stopped talking about it. It met him on the road to Damascus. It changed him, and he made certain that that message would come forth from his lips from that time until the time he went home to be with the Lord. May God help us never to recover from grace.
Well, Pastor Bob Colban had a Hallmark message Sunday morning at 9 a.m. He talked all about that, That's our message as we evangelize. Yeah. That we would not forget it. God, help us to keep it so clear in our hearts. Yeah.
Amen. Well, let's go to our first caller, Don. Pastor Don Barnes is joining us from out in Indiana. Pastor Don, welcome.
Indiana, yay.
Indiana wants us.
Yeah, but you can't go back.
That's it. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I was in a little situation for about 2 months, but I'm out of it. It just everything hit me at once. I had liver failure, and I'm not a drinker or anything like that. It just got mad at me, I guess. And so we got that taken care of. I did some surgery, and then I got COVID, and then I got pneumonia. And then they went in for a biopsy on the side of my head, which was killing me. And I want to take this time to thank all the people that prayed for a good outcome on my biopsy. And they called me today, and they said they found nothing. They thought it was clogged arteries in the side of my head. But anyway, they found nothing. I'm good to go. I'm free of all that. And I just want to tell you something. I was listening to your message, and this thought came to me in John 11, where Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave. He had been dead for 4 days.
Pastor Don, I hate to interrupt you, but we got to sign off at the first half hour. Will you hold on
okay. And
continue?
Yeah, sure.
Continue right at that point. I'm not going to let you forget. You're in John 11.
Okay.
All right, friends. So we're going to wrap up the first half hour. We want to thank you for joining us. For those of you that have to leave us, well, we'll be back tomorrow on your local station. So a little less than 24 hours, you can join us then. Everyone else, stay right where you are. We're going to get back and hear the rest of that from Pastor Don Barnes, and we'll continue to take your phone calls live on this Monday edition of the Grace Hour. So please stay right with us. Everyone else, we'll see you tomorrow at the same time. Until then, may God bless you. We're back with you live, friends, at gracehour.org and Facebook Live, YouTube Live, joining us live from Indiana, Pastor Don Barnes. Pastor Barnes, continue, please.
Okay, so Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, and he had been dead for 4 days, and he was alive. And the first thing that Jesus said was, take off the grave clothes.
Mm-hmm. I like
and,
that.
Yes, because he's not dead anymore. There's no reason for them to be on him. And so many times I think we get in this situation where we are born-again believers. We have been made new, and we still have our grave clothes on.
Mm. Yeah, you that's
know?
A great
and,
point.
And that, yeah, and that is death. That's that old man that is dead to Christ, but yet we still wear them, and let's get them off and realize that God has created a new man, and that old dead man has get rid of it. Just drop them. We walk in that old man so much that does us no good.
Wow. I love the instructions that Jesus gave to those that were present. He said to them, loose him and let him go.
Yeah, right, that's it. And I have no idea what the attraction is to the old man when we've been given all that we have been given by God.
Mm.
So anyway, I just wanted to call in and say hi. And again, thanks for all the prayer warriors. I'm in good shape. And Mark, I'm headed down to beat somebody's brains out there on a golf course.
Hey, we didn't realize that you had been going through all of those tests and trials, but we're glad to hear that you've been loosed and God's going to let you go.
Yeah, right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for joining us. Great to hear from you, Pastor Don. All right, back to the phones we go. And while we take the callers that are waiting, friends, a great opportunity for you to get to your phone and join us at 410-483-3700. Or if you're calling anywhere in the continental United States or Canada, 800-338-7060. And typically joining us from Canada is Lise, but she is here in the Baltimore area and joining us live on the Grace Hour. Hello, Lise.
Yes, hi.
Welcome.
Pastor Jason, Pastor Love, thank you very much for this broadcast once again. Pastor Jason, the message was wow, too much. All the verses, I will go to read them again. And it was, I appreciate very much the teaching. I would like to have your comments on this. Someone who lives in the flesh, can they have like a desire for souls? And for, you know, like sometimes I was wondering, is it possible that I would have desires that I just have desires that are not really in me? I'm just taking them because others have them, or how can I test myself? I don't know. I mean, I think I have a desire for souls. You know, I really want people to get to know the message. The message of grace, the finished work, cross-centered message, and I believe in that message. You know, it took me from so I wonder if I'm being, I don't know, how can I say that it's, how can I know that it's true, you know?
Well, I'll just take a stab at what I think you're trying to say.
Go.
I think the carnal man or the fleshly man. Doesn't want or even think about the things of God. So the fact that you have a desire or an interest, we know that's a work of the Spirit. So I don't want to overanalyze that, but just to say that anything on that line is really something from the Spirit, because the flesh or the carnal man is only occupied with themselves. I mean, sure, they may be occupied with their image and things of that nature, but what you're saying, the spiritual man, is they're thinking about people's eternal destinies. They're thinking about the value of a soul. They're thinking about the work of God in a believer's life. That's why grace is such a work of God, because, and I think if I understood from Pastor Bob this Sunday at the 9 o'clock, that the word grace was actually a word that had to be created, because it was something designated not only for people that are good, but for their enemies as well. So maybe just to simplify it and say that if you have a desire, we know God put it there.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
Okay, Lise, thanks for the question. It was a good one. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, questioning our motives. I think that that's actually healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often believers can get caught up in the things that they're doing for God or in the kingdom or in their local churches. But it's always good to ask, why? Why am I doing it? What's my motive? Because we can have, in some cases, some ulterior motives or different reasons as to why we're doing the work of God. But I like it. You know, when we used to go evangelizing, get on the bus with all of the young people, and I would often say, you know, why are you going? Asking myself, why are you going? What's your motive? What makes you, are you doing this? Is it duty? Is it obligation? Are you fulfilling your job description or your responsibility? Or are you moved with compassion? Do you see people like sheep without a shepherd, lost? Their eternal destiny hangs in the balance, and you could make a difference based upon the message that God has given you to give to them. So that's a healthy thing.
Absolutely. When you say this too, Pastor Love, like desire is second to obedience. Like if I'm obeying God, even if I don't feel like it, he'll give the desire. He'll give the encouragement. I mean, how many times have we done things and there, well, I'll speak for myself, there's been nothing. But I know that it glorifies God. Like the call of God, the call of God has several things. It is something that glorifies God, or it's something that shows what's important to God. It's the pattern is in the Bible, and it's confirmed by the body of Christ. So let's say there's a decision. I think one of the people here on Facebook, the one from Saudi Arabia, is at a crossroads, and it's like God wants you to know his will more than you want to know his will. So as you seek him, you know, in this place of, okay, Lord, what will glorify you? Not pros and cons, not what will benefit me, but what glorifies you? What are the doors that you're opening? And then is there a testimony from other believers? And is there a pattern in the Bible? And you know what will happen? God will give you the desire. God will give you what you need to fulfill that. How does that go? God equips the called or calls the equipped. How does that go? There's a statement that says
God doesn't call the equipped.
He equips the called. There it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Great statement.
Amen. Hey, let's go back to the phones. Shirley has a testimony that she'd like to share with us today in the Grace Hour. Shirley, welcome. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Pastor Love and Pastor Mason. I just want to call about last night, and I'm just saying that he took a step of faith, Pastor Steve, to do, not to do a message, but he did the message about winning souls and telling people about Jesus. And, you know, on the Freya brochure that's out, this is what from Peru, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, the local church leaders tell us that GGWO preaches too much grace. But we want to tell them that someone has to tell the truth about God. Isn't that something?
Mm, yeah.
Too much grace.
Was it an accusation against the church? They preach too much grace?
I mean, I don't understand the thought. How can you have too much grace?
No, you can't, Shirley. Exactly. You can't.
I don't understand. But anyway, it was wonderful to hear all the testimonies. And I think his name was Daniel from
California.
The last one that spoke.
Yes.
Talked about, which really is a really motivator, about Paul. Just take my name out of the book of life so my brethren can get saved.
Yeah.
That's quite a motivator. And the same thing with Moses in Exodus.
He
wanted his brethren to be saved so much that it's like he said, take my name out of the book of life. That is amazing motivation, I would say. And I just want to say last night it was really refreshing. And in one last thing, in Matthew, it says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust laborers into his harvest. That's the Amplified.
Wow.
We pray for laborers because they're out there. I mean, people want to get saved, but we need to pray that people, and this church, this amazing church. So I just want to say thank you and have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Shirley. Appreciate that. The testimonies last evening really were, they were great. A lot of our young people, Bible college students, sharing on the subject of soul winning and bringing people to Christ, and it was just some great thoughts and some wonderful testimonies, and I think, probably anyone and everyone in the church could have gotten up and shared a testimony about how God moved in their lives and brought them to a place where they were born again, trusted Christ. I know in my case, there's always a story, and there's always a pre-salvation work that God is doing. And maybe we could call that the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, and then actually being born of the Spirit. And then, of course, after that, we can have the great privilege of leading Spirit-led, Spirit-guided, Spirit-filled lives. But when the Holy Spirit is doing a work of God in people's lives, it's undeniable, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I love what you said earlier in the broadcast about not recovering from grace. You know, when you hear the statement like, oh, your church preaches too much grace, praise God. Too much. I mean, we need mountains of it. Why? Because it's what empowers us. It's what moves us in the way of God, in the will of God. You mentioned about motivation. You know, again, I think doubt has its place if it prompts me to seek answers to my questions in Christ. By the way, that's the key point there. Doubt is not wrong. It's just where I get my answers. Where does doubt lead me? That's the real question. And we should know what we believe. But if doubt prompts me to ask the deeper question and to seek out the answer, then that's very good. So our motivation, constrained in love, same principle, like not to overanalyze. And this is very important. We can talk ourselves right out of the will of God because we want to analyze all these things and our head starts to spin. But if it's something that God's put in your heart and you're really seeing the fingerprints of God, then walk through that open door. As Shirley just said, be forced out. Push away from the table, right? Thanksgiving, when you push away from the table to go for your walk. I don't know about you. I need to walk after, eat all that food. It's the same thing as believers. You need to push back and get moving. It's good.
Amen. And there's a world of difference, isn't there, between honest doubt, which makes you ask questions. And
yeah.
I think it's important that people understand that doubt never separates doubters from God. I mean, we have one of his disciples who has that tag attached to his name forever, Doubting Thomas. And look at the way Jesus dealt with him. Did he say, okay, you know what, you're out, I'm going to get a replacement for you, I have no tolerance for doubt, I have no tolerance for doubters? No, he went to him, he appeared unto him, he said, go ahead, thrust your hand into my side. And, of course, Thomas said, well, no, I don't even need to do that. There you are in front of me. And he said, well, you know, you have seen and you believe. Blessed are those that have not seen and have believed. But if you have honest doubt, there's a world of difference between honest doubt and hardened unbelief.
There you go.
Yeah, hardened unbelief. Honest doubt says, I want answers. God says, good, I'll give them to you. Hardened unbelief says, even if you give me the answers, I'm not interested.
Exactly.
Big difference between the two.
Well, he said it to his disciples, right? Who do men say that I am? Like, he provoked them. Like, I can tell you all day who I am, but who do you say that I am? And that's the work and ministry and revelation of the Spirit.
Amen. Back to the phones. Let's take Linda's call next on the Grace Hour. Hello, Linda, and welcome.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Pastor Jason, Pastor Love. I want to thank you so much for all your prayers and when I had my fall. And they were so wonderful, Franklin Square Hospital, that they said, what's your denomination? I said, Greater Grace, and they all knew you. And they said, I go to the Easter play. And wow. The other one said, my sister goes there. Wow. And just the doctor said, I was praying. And they said, he said, what church? And I asked him, what church? And he told me his family. He's a Catholic. I said, well, I pray. And I was sitting there for your hands. And he said, your doctor only said a couple stitches, but you have 15. And when I come to church, Pastor Coban, he said he was mentioned the number 15 in his message.
That's right. And
you had
15 stitches. So that's quite a gash you got there. But we saw you Sunday and you looked great.
The nurse said that I could take it off, but don't wash my hair to Wednesday. It was last Wednesday. So I was able to pray, and I got an MR, CAT scan of my head, my hard head. And I'm right. And I was looking at Pastor Jason and Carson and the different pictures on my window. And I said, I just got to go see them. And now I was praying for this woman. I've been praying for years for Shirley Turner, and I just heard that she passed. They did Shirley Turner Roofing. So I guess they're planning that. Her husband passed away a few years ago now. She had a deadly cancer.
Okay. So, well, we're glad to hear that you're recovering and you're doing well.
And I'm reading the Bible as much as I can every day. I don't think I can do it in 90 days. Like, there's one of the ministries is trying to do it in 90 days. But I'm doing as much as I can, and I've learned a whole lot because I read it out loud. And I turn everything off and read it out loud. And so I'm really remembered more with my hard head and my cracks and my heads than I ever did.
Wow.
And every time somebody a message comes up, I'll remember something that I read.
Good
so
for
that
you.
Didn't take the memory of anything, just my hard head, I guess.
Well, you don't have to worry about, you know, getting through the Bible in 90 days. Just read at your pace, and God will speak to you and grab a promise. Even if it's just one promise, that'll be enough to sustain you.
Okay.
And thank you, Linda.
I can remember everything. And thanks for everyone for my 29 years there. I really appreciate it very much.
God bless you.
And
thanks
love
for the call.
Everybody, and still pray for Brandon Alexson. He's having a lot of problems right now.
All right, we'll do that.
Thank
you, Linda. God bless you.
Day.
Let's go back to the phones. Pastor Duke is joining us up in Pennsylvania, I believe. Pastor Duke, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi, Pastor Love.
Hi, sir.
Hi, Pastor Jason. Hey, I just want to say, Pastor Love, your message yesterday on the Man of Sorrows. I was able to hear that message late last night before I went to bed and before my wife and I put our daughter down for bed. And, boy, it just really ministered. And also, Pastor Jason, your message today on Grace Hour is like a continuation of what you were sharing at the men's conference on Friday. I had a chance Saturday afternoon to hear that, and me and my daughter, while my wife was at work, we were watching it together, and then I would stop, and she would ask me some questions about what you said, and we would talk about it. So I just want to thank you guys, because you guys, you know, you're just causing us to feed on God's faithfulness, like it says in Psalm 37:3. And I just want to thank you for that.
Amen. Well, appreciate your edifying words, Pastor Duke. Always a pleasure to hear from you.
Thank you. Keep us in prayer. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm able to go out and reach the high school kids, and we're planning, by the grace of God, we're planning next month, which is quickly coming in February. We want to start some kind of after-school program for the kids that are walking home from the high school to the area surrounding us. And several of them that I met on this past Thursday actually asked us if we had anything for teenagers. And I said, we're going to have to talk that over with our leaders in our church and see what happens. So I talked it over with our elders and Pastor Larry, and we're by faith, we're just going to step out and see what God does. So please keep that in your prayers, Pastor Love. I know that, you know, young people have a special soft spot in your heart for young people. So
yeah,
appreciate
well,
your prayers.
Let's plan something up there. Let's, you know, pick a night, advertise it, and then we'll come up and we'll, have a time together with them. Maybe we can just have a rap session with them. They can feel free to ask questions, and we could get some pizza, which is the preferred food for teenagers, and some and some adults. But yeah, keep us in the loop. We'd love to come up and compliment any work that you're doing up there in York, PA.
Amen. Boy, we would be blessed to have you, Pastor Love. Absolutely.
Hey,
before I hang up, I just wanted to mention one thing. Psalm 46:10, it's a verse that we know. Psalm 46:10, right? Be still and know that I am God. And I was reading this verse over the weekend, and I was amazed, Pastor Jason, that in the Hebrew word says, cease or desist from your own efforts.
Mm.
And, man, that fits your message today, doesn't it?
Pastor Duke, I love your spirit, and amen to that. I got a testimony for you about your son, Seth. And just real quick, he's been ministering to a young man in Stevenson. And in this young man, he lives in Frederick. And Seth's been really encouraging him to connect with us out there in Frederick. So Seth drove out there, picked him up, and brought him to church. And like Seth drove from Baltimore to Frederick, which is almost an hour, picked this young man up who lives 10 minutes from where we meet, took him to the church, and this young man really responded, and he came on his own this past weekend. So your son your son has that same fire that you do, and I love your family. It's just awesome to see him and Sam. It's just, they're great, great young people.
It runs in the family, Pastor Duke.
Amen. I remember when Seth was telling me about that a few weeks ago. And by the way, Pastor Jason, we here have been praying for you and Pastor White there in Frederick for your church and God's work there. So it's just great news to hear that Seth, you know, is a part of that. And yeah, we're just so blessed. 2022 is going to be a year of just feeding on God's faithfulness. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Great way to state it. Thanks, Pastor Duke. God bless you.
Thank you. I love you guys so much.
Amen. And we heard from our brother Dominic DiPiazza over there in France. They had a wonderful, wonderful conference in Paris, and he was commenting upon the outstanding messages from Pastor Schaller, Pastor Boyce, Pastor Texier, and so many other portions over there. So our prayers, if you joined us for those prayers for the conference in Paris, they were all answered, friends, and the saints were greatly encouraged, and we're happy to hear that. Pastor Schaller will be making his way back here to the States within hours. Perhaps even he's in the air as we speak. And you know, God willing, he'll be joining us tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour, so we'll get to hear some more about that conference in Paris, France. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Joe is joining us live on the Grace Hour. Joe, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pastor Love and Pastor Jason. Thank you for that message yesterday, Pastor Jason. It really touched me, my heart, because the more you understand God and follow him in his ways, the rest of the garbage is out. You know, I don't know what I do or how I do it or what should I say or how can I get through a situation. It's like, be still in God, and you don't have to have the answer. And I used to get upset. It was like an attack. You get upset because you don't have the answer. But when you humble yourself and be still, God is with you and helps you through that situation. And he just edifies you and encourages you. And the more things that you honor God in his way, the more of the garbage he takes away, where you're fed on the Spirit, you know, the snacks of the Spirit, the drink of the Spirit, and it's edifying. And like you were saying, the more the garbage goes out and you're clear in what you're reading and understanding it when you're focused on God in his way.
Hmm. It's great to hear from you, Joe. Just think of you, brother, there. And I love what you're saying. You know, sometimes maybe we don't like where we are, and God is doing a deep work in our hearts where we are. Maybe we think we could be somewhere else doing a greater work, but I think of abiding, like you're saying, and God is refining us. God is bringing us deeper and bearing fruit. I think of where you are today. You're bearing fruit. You're bringing Christ there to those folks, and also the presence of God is in your room and with you, and he's crowned you and anointed you for this season in your life, and it's just good that you're connected. We love you, sir.
Well, thank you, and you know, I just, that message, Pastor Love, was, you know, it reminded me of when I was unsaved. You know, you're going this way or that way, you're not sure, but the closer you get to him, the more it's direct, and you don't have to say, well, go to left or right. It's honor God in his way, and the more that he edifies you and encourages you, the easier the steps are in life and making decisions.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Jane weighed in and said, you know, overdosing on grace, too much grace? I don't think so. She says, I'll take it. Amen. We will take it with you too, Jane. Don't think that that's possible. You know, I suppose the reason why that allegation is thrown out there is because I think it's easy if you look at a ministry that magnifies the grace of God, and maybe you see some flaws and some missteps and people making mistakes. You know, you could say, well, that's probably because, you know, you're preaching too much grace. But I'd like to ask them a question. What else would you preach?
Mm.
What are you supposed to preach? Are you supposed to introduce legalism?
Mm.
I mean, what purpose does that serve? in fact, the scriptures seem to indicate pretty clearly that those two systems can't even coexist. You can't have grace preaching and legalistic preaching. You can't have, you know, a message about the grace of God and then add to that some good bookkeeping, so to speak. I mean, if we could be saved by keeping the law or by good bookkeeping, then Moses would have saved us, and there'd be no need for Jesus. But, you know, righteousness cannot be achieved on the basis of law-keeping.
Yes. Yeah, I think there was a booklet written years ago by Pastor Stevens, you know, I think Satan hates grace because grace is what is creating something new in my life. So, of course, we're going to be preaching grace because it's creating, it's doing the impossible work, like you're saying, because our conformity doesn't lead us to transformation. Transformation is an outside action of agreeing with someone that's absolute, and we're not absolute. We are subjective, but I love this. Let's OD on grace. I love that in the sense where grace teaches us, right? It's not just a get-out-of-jail-free card. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and live soberly. 1 Corinthians 15:10, it labors more abundantly. In Titus 2:11, there's so much we could say.
Yeah, and Brian brings out a great point where sin abounds. Grace does much more abound. So for those that say, hey, we're here to make sure that sin doesn't abound in people's lives, well, God says, sorry, but I've got that covered too. And that is grace will much more abound. Because again, you're either under the law or you're under grace. And Paul told us in Romans 6:14, you are no longer under the law, but you are now and forever under grace. So don't worry about too much grace. As far as we're concerned, you can't hear about it enough. And we hope that you never recover from it.
Exactly.
Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us on the Monday edition of the Grace Hour. We're going to continue to discuss that theme, the grace of God, and together with the call of God. Because, again, grace saves, grace calls, grace keeps, grace preserves, grace abounds. And we are thankful for that truth. Pastor Jason, thanks for joining us on this Monday edition of the broadcast. And we're excited about what's coming up this week. A couple of live broadcasts coming up. Then, of course, on Thursday, we'll have the tape message from Pastor Stevens. That message is entitled, Seize the Opportunity of Grace. And we're looking forward for that message as well. Thank you so much, friends. We appreciate you joining us. Again, stay strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Until tomorrow, may God bless you.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.